Blog Talk Radio.
For 30 years, from the time I met Rick in 79 until Bootsy died in 2009, it's been the Silhouettes and me. I was their bass player, photographer, choreographer, manager, chauffeur, and musical director, not to mention Rick Lewis's wife. 3 years after Rick died, I found Bootsy, the last living member of the group. He had been missing for over 30 years. We clung like two lost sheep until he died in September of 2009. This one-of-a-kind collector's item is a tribute to them, Earl, Raymond, Rick, Bill, Neil, and Bootsy. I love you. These are the words of Elaine Lewis, our guest for tonight at our Blog Talk Radio show. Elaine, are you there?
Yes.
Welcome. How are you, lady?
Pretty good so far.
I know these shows can be a little nerve-wracking, but nothing to worry. Mm-hmm. Take a deep breath. We're going to have a good conversation. And I'd like to welcome you. First of all, I'd like to thank you for being a member of our multicultural artistic network, for sharing this great history. That's one of the passions that I have for this network, is all the history that I get to relive through through members like you. So let me try to get rid of my volume here, because it seems like I'm getting some feedback, and hopefully that will go away. All right. Mm-hmm. And for those of you in chat, I'd like to welcome you. We have quite a few people there. Also, for those of you listening throughout the internet on our little web players, thank you for joining us. And if you take a minute and tweet the show to your friends, we appreciate that as well. So, Elaine, let's go ahead and get right to it. I always like to know the early years of our members, just to know a little bit about them and their background. And I want to know, which instruments did you first learn to play, and what instruments do you play now?
Well, I play the guitar, and I well, I grew up in the age of Elvis Presley, so that pretty much means that everyone played the guitar. or at least everyone was given a ukulele for Christmas, and I was no exception. So I was given a ukulele, and I guess I was around 10 years old, and I actually learned how to play it. I apparently taught myself how to play it. I figured out how to press the strings down and actually make real chords. And I went to, let's see, when I was 11 and 12 years old, I went to a camp, a day camp, and they had a famous guitar teacher there. And so it was very unusual in that one of the activities at that camp was ukulele. I mean, you know, they passed out the ukuleles to everyone, you know, to the whole bunk, however many kids that was, and we all had to learn how to play. And, of course, I was ahead of the game because I already had a ukulele, so I had already figured a lot of this out. And so I learned very quickly. And eventually my parents gave me a real guitar. And actually, I think what they did was they just unloaded someone's guitar on me that they didn't want anymore. And it's great big things, totally inappropriate for however old I was, a kid at that point. Totally inappropriate, but I started playing it immediately. And they had, it came with a guitar book, a chords book. And so I immediately transposed all the ukulele chords I learned into guitar chords. That's how I became a guitar player.
Okay.
And
now, go ahead.
Yes,
I was going to ask you actually had some performances later before you met the Silhouettes in your teen years. So tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, okay. I think my very first public appearance was at a school assembly, as I remember, and I backed up Mindy Aloff on Tan Shoes and Pink Shoelaces, and I think I came in on the talking part, which is too embarrassing to remember now. Yeah, that was my first public appearance, and then my next one was a little less embarrassing. I believe I was 12 years old, and this was at camp, and I sang in front of the whole camp. I sang and played the Drifters' "There Goes My Baby." And I sang all the parts. I sang lead, and I sang the bass part, and I did all the dip, dip, dips. And, so that was my first show. And everyone afterwards came up to me and said, "Elaine, you sound just like the record." I must have done okay.
Let me ask you this. When you were growing up, what were the doo-wop groups that you remember? And what is your recollection of the Silhouettes?
Oh. Well, I was 10 years old when Get a Job came out. And I heard a lot of the songs I heard. Well, first of all, bandstand was right at the center of my life, but it was at the center of everyone's life back then. Dick Clark's American Bandstand.
Right, right.
Yeah. So that came on every day from 3 to 5. And there was actually a period there where it came on from 2:30 to 5. I mean, it took up your whole day. It was the biggest thing in people's lives back then. Well, you know, if you were young, if you were a kid or a teenager, it was the biggest part of your life. And,
right.
But also, the other place I was exposed to this music was the various people who drove me to camp. You know, you'd wait for the station wagon to pick you up for camp every day. And I can distinctly remember hearing songs like I Ran All the Way Home Just to Say I'm Sorry, and Come Go With Me by the Del Vikings, and Tonight Tonight by the Mellow Kings. I just have specific memories of that. But then when I was 12, I guess I was really fortunate because my driver for day camp, his name was Earl Davies, and Earl drove us to Camp Neequan, and Earl had the Kay Williams Show on every day in the car. Now, Kay came on in the morning, and so Kay always used to say, "Hey, you, get out of that bed and get that bread right now, you hear?" And I can't believe I just did that. That's probably the first time in my life I did that, and I had to choose now. But, yeah, I was fortunate enough. This would have been the only way in life, in the world, I'd have been exposed to the Kay Williams Show. And that changed my life. That put my life right on the track that it stayed for the whole rest of my life. I mean, from then on, music was my whole life. The radio was my life.
Now, let me interject quickly. You mentioned Kay Williams, and we could not go on with the show without mentioning Kay Williams and B.A. Williams. For those of you who are not familiar with Kay Williams, he was a pioneer radio personality, and he was the force behind getting the Silhouettes on the map and getting Get a Job played. And I am so honored because D.A. Williams is also, who is Kay Williams' son, is also a member of our network. So to have two individuals that are so instrumental in the history of the Silhouettes in our network, it's really special. So, and I also want to thank D.A. Williams for connecting the both of us, Elaine, because it was through D.A. that I learned about you. So, and if all of you that are listening would like to check out the show that I did with D.A. Williams, simply check out our blog and subscribe to our blog. It's www.rthomagazine, and that's ARTHEO-magazine. That's MEGAZINE.com. And also, of course, through Blog Talk Radio. You can always listen to our shows through blogtalkradio.com/coloredpeople. And so we'll talk about Kay Williams in the history of the Silhouettes in a little bit. But the first song that I played was I Want to Know. And I know, Elaine, that you are passionate about letting the world know that not only the Silhouettes were a doo-wop group, But they were also a soul group. As a matter of fact, they were the first doo-wop group that hit number one on the pop and R&B soul charts. That what year was that? Was
58,
exactly. So I Want to Know was the first song that I played. That was by the Silhouettes. The next song I want to play is Your Love. And then we'll get back to Elaine Lewis. But before we do, there's a little clip I want you to hear.
Okay, we just heard from Rent Man by the Silhouettes. And just talking to the group, I found out something interesting. That's the new group then. Would you like to elaborate on that?
Yes, the original song was, we had a tune called Rent Man also. But this group consists of the baritone Earl Beal, myself, Richard Lewis, Cornelius Brown, and John Boothie.
John Boothie.
Yeah. John Wilson.
Welcome back, everybody. The short little clip you heard before the song was when the group was being introduced. John, was it Rick that was introducing the group members, Elaine?
Yes.
And he got Bootsy's name kind of mixed up.
So he couldn't remember his real name.
Right.
He couldn't remember Bootsy, and Bill was no help either. Because Rick looked to him and said, Bootsy. And Bill went, yeah, Bootsy. He didn't know
either. And
Bootsy's name was John Wilson.
Right. Let me just share with the listeners, the original members were Bill Horton, Raymond Edwards. Bill Horton was a lead. Raymond Edwards, bass. Earl Beale, baritone, and Richard Lewis, tenor. Now, this was 1956 through 1968, roughly. And then the, well, some of them were till 68, right? Earl Beale, wasn't he till 68?
Rick and Earl. Rick and Earl.
Right, Rick and Earl. Right, and then later members were John Wilson and Cornelius Brown. So they replaced Bill Horton and Raymond Edwards, correct?
Right.
Okay. Now, let's talk about two things I want to talk about. One is, as I mentioned, your desire for the world to know the Silhouettes, not only as a doo-wop group, but as a soul group as well. So I Want to Know that I played first, and this song I just played, Your Love. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Oh, well, first of all, ask the people in the chat room if they're hearing distortion, or because I just have my small speakers on. I don't have my big speakers on, but it's coming through distorted on my little tiny computer speakers here. But
I asked them already, and they said it was fine. So,
Because
there is really nothing I can do at this point, because all the songs are already downloaded. But I just sent them another message, and we'll see what we hear back from them.
If people are hearing it all right, then it should be apparent to everyone by now how great they were. So the last song I just heard is just overwhelming to me. It's just over his voice, Bootsy's voice, is right up there with Chuck Jackson and Roy Hamilton and Tony Williams of the Platters. As far as I'm concerned, it's right up there. It's I can't say enough about that song. It's just overwhelming to me. If there's any oldies disc jockeys listening to the show, you should start playing it, for God's sake.
That's right. We have two disc jockeys in our network, Carrie and Mario. If you're listening, you need to play that. But
in fact, you would be hard pressed if you listened to the Silhouette songs from the 60s. You would be really hard pressed to make a decision about which one you were going to play. Because everyone you hear, you'd say, "Oh, okay, this is it. This is the one. This is the hit." But you'd hear the next one, and you'd be wrong. In fact, there's one of their songs actually from the 60s actually was a hit in England. It never got played here, and that was Got Me, Baby. And people have told me that they, according to them, that Not Me Baby was the best song ever. Literally ever. Their favorite song ever. So we're going to hear that later, I guess.
Yes, but we are. We are going to hear that soon.
To me, it's such a shame. Go ahead. I'm rambling. Go ahead, Tony.
I mentioned Gary and Mario. I just wanted to say they are with WHPK.org, so you guys can check it out, actually, it's just http://whpk.org, and they are with Chicago's, they are Chicago radio station. So I called you up, Gary and Mario. Let's stop playing these songs. But let me go ahead and play the song that you just mentioned, and when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about their career. And was it Not Me, Baby? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, can you play the interview snippet that comes before it, too?
Okay, and that's Not Me Baby, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Not Me Baby, and then we'll be right back.
Nobody knows anything about your time with the group.
Okay.
Apart from there's a short interview we had that they did with Rick and Bill, and they run through it fairly fast. And part of the trouble is that most of the people who written about the Silhouettes, they're doo-wop fans.
Yeah, okay.
And, I mean, I know nothing. I'm here in England. You know, to me, you were making some soul records.
Yeah, that's right.
And, oh, something else that I'm reminded of. I'm sure you had never heard of the fact that Not Me Baby was popular in England before we told you.
No, I never knew that.
Back to Elaine Lewis and the Silhouettes. This is Tanya Maria. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio, coloredpeople.net, a multicultural artistic network sponsored by DaughterNature.com and HealthRoads.net. So, Elaine, back to you. Your CD that you put together, it's really... It's more than a collector's item. It's something to really be cherished. For the listeners, Elaine put a two CD set together. It took her a year to get that done. And the first CD is doo-wop, and the second CD is soul music. And she's working on getting that online, so you guys can just go to online and purchase it. But for now, send her an email, rather, to getajob58@aol.com. Getajob58@aol.com. So, Elaine, you were elaborating about how they're not as known as a soul group, but as we heard the little clip, they were well known in the UK for their for their songs. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Oh, well, wasn't that a great song, first of all? Yay! Okay, I'm going to clap for it if no one else does. When I brought Bucci to my house for the first time and a couple of years ago, and he hadn't heard this song in maybe, I don't know, a good 40 years, and I played it for him, and he started crying. And it meant so much to him. The song meant that much to him. Being in the Silhouettes meant that much to him. And, yeah. So it is, it's a great song, Not Me Baby. And again, I would say to you oldies, disc jockeys out there, play something else. For God's sake, how many times can you play Heat Wave before people just get fed up? And you know, there's really a lot of other great songs that you can look for and play, is what I'm saying. And I feel really bad for the Silhouettes because a lot of doo-wop groups came back in the 60s and had hits. Like the Olympics came back with Mine Exclusively and Philly Dog. And the Falcons came back with Standing on Guard. And the Dells came back with There Is and Stay in My Corner and a bunch of other things. And the Platters came back with This Ring and I Love You a Thousand Times. And the Silhouettes came back too, but no one played their records. And that doesn't make any sense to me. Two of their sides were on Imperial, which was the label that Ricky Nelson was on and Fats Domino was on. So Imperial Records was a big label. But the Silhouettes, the two sides the Silhouettes had on Imperial didn't get much, if any, airplay. It makes no sense to me. They were two great sides, especially, Which Way Did She Go? Yeah, that was my favorite song of theirs on Imperial. Which Way Did She Go? It's a fantastic song. So many great soul songs, and it's time people started playing them and getting to know them. They're too good. They're too good to be overlooked. And here's the proof of how good these soul songs are. The producer for most of them was Jerry Ragavoy. And maybe people don't know who Jerry Ragavoy is. He just died recently. Jerry Ragavoy was responsible for some of the greatest soul songs of that era. For example, all of Howard Tate's songs, Stop and Nobody Home, to name two. Irma Franklin's Take Another Little Piece of My Heart, which Janis Joplin covered later. And what I consider to be maybe the best soul song ever, Lorraine Ellison's Stay With Me Baby. It just doesn't get any more soulful than that one. And that was all of Jerry Ragavoy's work. And so he was the Silhouettes' producer. And, in fact, Bootsy said in an interview once that they all would sit around the piano with Jerry Ragavoy. And so it's just no wonder to me that these songs are as great as they are. Speaking of Bootsy and piano, I should probably throw in that Bootsy actually taught himself how to play the piano, and he was very good. Bootsy was no joke. He was really good. He was very talented. Great and amazing voice.
You were talking about how they didn't get played in the 60s, but there were some challenges. Let's talk about Kay Williams with his label and how instrumental he was. I understand that he even got to selling. He had CDs being sold from the back of his car. So tell me how the Silhouettes connected with Kay Williams and what were some of the challenges that they had?
Oh, okay. Well, you're a little bit mixed up because what you mean to say is that when the Silhouettes cut Get a Job back in December of 57, it took off so fast.
No. I wasn't talking about Get a Job. I was talking about after Get a Job, they had some challenges with getting some other songs played. Is that correct? I know Get a Job did very well, but wasn't at first no one wanted to play it, and then Kay Williams had to put the song on the side B. Wasn't there initially a challenge to get the song out?
You're all over the map, Tanya. You've amalgamated several stories into one.
I guess I did, and I'm glad you're here so you can set the record straight. No pun intended.
Go
ahead. Let's talk about Get a Job first, and then we talk about some of the challenges they had.
Okay. Kay didn't mean for Get a Job to be the A side. First of all, what happened was the Silhouettes were originally a gospel group called the Gospel Tornadoes, and the only reason they're not still a gospel group is because of Rick, my husband. He was a later addition to the Gospel Tornadoes. He was actually the road manager for the Turbans at the time. And an old singing buddy of his, James Jenkins, who was part of the Gospel Tornadoes, got drafted. And he said, well, my friend Rick will fill in for me. And so Rick took his place. So while Rick is singing gospel with Earl, Raymond, and Bill, he says, you know, there's really no future in this. We don't get paid very much. We only get paid what's taken up in the collection at church. That's all we get. And that's all we're ever going to get. And you guys might want to consider becoming rock and roll singers. And so Rick was the one who had written songs. So he shared his songs with them. And they started singing in bars as the Thunderbirds. And they had auditioned for everyone they could audition for. But it was only Kay Williams who said, yes, okay, you're all right with me. This is good. This is really good. And he recorded them. But he didn't consider Get a Job to be an A side. And it was buried on the B side of that record. Kay was promoting the A side, which was I'm Lonely. And it just
I love happen. That song. I love
oh,
that
you
song.
Do?
I'm going to play that. Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh. Okay. So, anywho, well, okay, you're on board with Kay then, because that's what he thought. This is the A side. But the other disc jockeys in the area of Philadelphia apparently didn't agree with him. They all turned the record over and started playing Get a Job. And it took off so fast that they couldn't keep it in the record stores fast enough. They kept running out. And so the Silhouettes were actually delivering their own record to the area record stores out of the trunk of Kay Williams's car. So that's where that story came in. And in fact, the pressing plant ran out of the color of Kay's label, Junior Records. Junior pressed on a maroon color label, kind of a reddish brown label. And they completely ran out of that color, the pressing plant. And so they had
to use blue.
Yeah, they started pressing on blue. So this is all going on right under Dick Clark's nose, because Bandstand was located right here in Philadelphia. And you know, what was going on here didn't get past him and his producer, Tony Mamarella. And Tony Mamarella's partner, his publishing partner in Wildcat Music, Milton Tellum, said, we have to get that record. And we have to get the publishing on that. And Tony Mamarella said, no, I don't want it. But Milton Tellum finally prevailed and said, oh, yeah. You know, but I think Tellum said he probably said he didn't want it because they would have to have done business with Kay Williams. And we don't know what that means back in 1958.
Right.
You know, Kay Williams was a small-time black disc jockey who played the blues.
Right.
You know, he was playing B.B. King before anybody ever heard of him.
That's right.
I mean, Kay's show was way off the beaten track. And so this is who they were going to have to do business with. This is, you know, this is Dick Clark doing business with Kay Williams. I mean, it's ridiculous. So this is why Tony Mamarella is going, I don't want it. But Milton Kellum is going, are you crazy? Look at what is going on here in this town. So finally persuaded Tony Mamarella to get on board, and they met with Kay Williams. They said, okay, you give us half the publishing, and we'll peddle the mat. Peddled the master to Ember Records in New York. That's Al Silver's label. And we'll play it on Bandstand. And Kay was like, cool. Yeah, okay. Whatever you say, you're Dick Clark. So they went ahead with that. That was in January. That was like the first week of January 1958. And they played it on Bandstand, and the very next day, Al Silver had orders for 500,000 records.
Awesome.
The next day, 500,000 records. It must have sold a million in, like, I don't know, a couple of weeks. And it stayed on the charts for, I don't know how many weeks or months it stayed on the charts, but as you pointed out, it went all the way to number one. And this was the first time a rhythm and blues record got to number one, the very first time.
Let's take a listen to that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead, you're going to say something?
Do you want to play the insert that comes in before I'm
yes.
I'm low? Or, okay,
yes,
go ahead.
I got it.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Didn't sing that by itself.
You going back up? Snoop won't come.
Right. If there is anywhere.
No, we all say that.
I only come
well,
in
why
one
you
part.
Out, Earl? Why are you laying out?
Somebody
hung
out the floor. Why'd you lay out?
Because you laid out.
Oh.
Dip, 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 dip. La 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 la.
With Elaine Lewis and the Silhouettes. Again, if you'd like a copy of the CD, it will soon be online for purchase. But for now, you can send Elaine an email to getajob58@aol.com. I see someone on the line. If you do want to speak to us, you need to press 1. So I know that on the phone lines, if you want to speak to us, press 1. So I know that... you are ready. Elaine, do you want to take a call?
Sure.
All right. Let's bring the caller on the air. You're on the air, caller.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi, who's this?
This is Lou Brotman calling.
Oh, my God!
Hi, dear.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. Lou is our guitar player.
Oh, how awesome. Welcome.
The show is very interesting. It's definitely interesting to hear the stories, some of which I know and some of which I don't know. And I definitely had a lot of adventures with the fellas and enjoyed my time learning the music and playing with them and dealing with the whole Silhouette scene. It was definitely a important part of my life. Lots of fun.
Oh,
so calling in to say hey.
Hey.
Does the music sound okay to you? We weren't sure if it was a little distorted or it does. Okay.
No, it's fine.
Okay, we were concerned about that.
And it's obviously just Lou, do you remember me always hearing distortion?
Say that again?
do you remember me always hearing distortion? I was always the one who was claiming that something was distorted.
Oh, yes. Well, there was always something was wrong. Yeah, I remember that. I remember my first encounter with you there in the background. It was like a lot of stuff was going on. And it was obvious that you were involved in everything. And I didn't know, I just like, who is this? Who's this person running around, like, involved in every aspect of what's happening and making sure, you know, I didn't know. And then, you know, as time went on, then, you know, I found out. And then, of course, you know, the famous story that you were my inspiration to become a bass player. As I
wow.
saw you switch from guitar to bass in like 2 weeks and do a show with us. And I was very impressed. I'm thinking, wow, if you can do that, then maybe I can do that. And I switched from guitar to bass, and now I'm a working bass player.
Wow. Lou.
Yes.
Lou, do you remember when the guys were rehearsing Good Rockin' Tonight, and I told them that they were going to the wrong chord? That they were going to a B7th and it was supposed to be an A. That Roy Brown was going to an A, not a B7th. And they wouldn't believe me. And I said, well, call Lou. Call Lou Brotman. He'll tell you.
Well,
And he said, oh, it's a B7th. And I nearly died.
Well, the whole trajectory for me is really funny. I mean, I did go, after being sort of a garage band guitar player, I did end up stumbling into jazz and going to college. I went to community college in Rutgers and got a degree in music and actually knew a little bit about music by the time I met the Silhouettes. And I met them by going to a rehearsal for a band that was horrible, in a bar, a live, like, audition. And it was totally horrible situation. And I was having really bad time. And when I came down off the stage, Earl Lewis is there, the young Earl, and he starts a conversation with me. This is Rick's nephew, Earl. And he says to me something about the chords that I'm playing, and he recognized something in my playing that nobody else in the room did. I mean, it was really funny. Nobody in the room appreciated me but Earl. And he says, did I ever hear of the song Get a Job, which, of course, I had. Grew up in Philly and heard the record a million times. And he's like, well, my uncle wrote that, and we have a show coming up. Would you be interested in playing? I'm like, sure, I don't know. I didn't even know if he was for real. And 2 weeks later, he comes over to my house with Rick, and they bring a tape of 10 of the songs, Silhouette songs, and I learned them all and charted them all out. And a couple of weeks later, we were playing Valley Forge Music Fair, spinning around at 3 miles an hour, like with 4,000 people, and it just went off from there. Next thing I knew, we were at Radio City. You know, I mean, everything was all just amazing, and I sort of became the music director de facto, and so that's why I knew all the music. And this was, for me, it was very exciting and funny. That after studying jazz and learning all the sophisticated things about music, here I was playing blues, 1-4-5, bar chords, the simplest thing I could play in front of 10,000 people who were standing ovations, and all these things were happening, and it would just crack me up how music, you know, the whole thing is the direct line right to the people, and of course blues is under everything. So there's my...
Hello. How long did you play with the group? From what year to what year?
It's a little blurry. I'm thinking it started in the mid-80s. Could that be like 84
yeah.
or something?
Yeah.
83, somewhere in there. And then I toured with Bill Doggett for a while, and then I came back off of that, and we got back together. And so there was a little gap between the original time I played with them, I think. There was about a year, a little gap when I was away. And I think it was all together was maybe 6 years or so. And then Bill had his heart attack after the last show I did with them. And that was the start of all the... Then all the physical ailments and things started to kick in, and I don't know if we did too much after that.
No.
And Bill was my roommate when we played in Atlantic City. Bill was my roommate, and it was hysterical because I'm like a new age hippie, and Bill is like, you know, old school gentleman, and he did not understand what was happening, but it was really funny. I was like having crystals and all these stuff, and he's like Lou's talking to rocks. You know, what's up with, I don't know, I thought something funny about it. Lou's talking to rocks, you know. And but I loved that man, you know. I loved all those guys. They were crazy to be around. They like just nitpicked at each other, and but it was hysterical sometimes. But I loved them all, and it was really a joy to be behind them and be connected to that whole thing. It was a real pleasure for me.
They always sang, didn't they? They always sang.
Sang and argued.
Yeah.
You know, I have the videotape of that day of Radio City, and you know, the concert's only like the last third or fourth of it, but the whole thing was the whole day going up there, them arguing all day. We're getting in the dressing room, they're arguing all day, but whatever anybody said, the other guys would contradict it. But then they started singing, and they did all those old tunes, like from the old, like from the 40s. Boy, what was those stuttering songs?
Bad Boy.
Yeah, Bad Boy. Oh, my
bad
God.
Boy.
It was so beautiful. I mean, and I was just out of it. I needed sleep really bad. I was just there, like, and it was so beautiful. It was almost, it was heavenly. They were just singing and just so natural. That was the real deal. Before the concert and all that was that was the show. But really the real deal was them singing in the dressing room. Beautiful.
Right.
And you were there with a camera. Driving everybody crazy. Look over here.
That was because they wouldn't sit together.
They drove each other nuts. It was really like a bizarre group of people to be around.
And I had to keep moving the camera around because they wouldn't sit together.
Yeah.
It was mainly Earl who wouldn't sit with them.
Yeah, it was
to one side.
It was a very bizarre family to be a part of.
Lou,
it's
an honor to have you with us. I want
to
give you an open invitation to be a part of this exciting network, because our goal is to bring quality shows and tell stories and let the world know of the great, you know, from music acting to everything pertaining to the arts. So I give you
an
open invitation. So I will get your information from Elaine, and I'll send you a little note. Does Elaine have your email? Or?
Yes, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll be in touch. I'll be in touch.
Okay. I really appreciate you calling in. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Luke.
I'll be talking to you, Elaine. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my. That's
God.
Special.
Yeah, he played guitar for us. He was our guitar player. And
he was our
musical director. And once Lou realized that he could sleep later if I went and rehearsed the band, I became the musical director all of a sudden. He said, Elaine, you know how to do this, right? I say, yeah. He said, good. Okay, you do it. Because Lou and I both had a horrible, it was terrible. We could not sleep the night before a show. Because it was like, you go to bed and you say, okay, I have to go to sleep now because I have to be up in 6 hours. I must go to sleep now.
Exactly.
And every hour it would be like, okay, I must go to sleep now because if I go to sleep right now, I will have gotten 5 hours sleep and I'll be okay. But this would go on all night. And he had it just as bad as I did. So as soon as he realized it, he didn't have to get to these shows, for rehearsal, then suddenly I became the musical director. Thanks, Lou.
Right. Well, let's play another little short clip and another song. I do see someone else on the line, if you'd be so kind to hold. We'll be right back.
But you're all very close, as I understand it.
Yeah, we are very close. We are very close.
ColoredPeople.net blog talk radio show. We're a multicultural artistic network. We're sponsored by DaughterNature.com, bringing wholesale gifts to consumers and retailers, and HealthRoads.net, featuring Zeal for Life, 100% natural nutritional supplement. So, Elaine Lewis, you did a fabulous job with the CD. I want to ask you two questions. One, how did you meet Rick? And then two, how did the CD get done in a year? So let's talk about you meeting Rick.
Wow, well, those are two big questions. Let's see, how did I meet Rick? Oh, well, I had befriended Charlie Horner. Charlie had he was a disc jockey, and he was a disc jockey on WXPN in Philadelphia. It was a college radio station, the University of Pennsylvania's radio station. And Charlie did the Rhythm and Blues show every Saturday from 1 to 3. And he was a very approachable guy. You could call in his show. You could ask him questions. You could tell him what you wanted him to play. I mean, he's very approachable. So I guess I must have come to, I met him. Somehow I met him. I remember meeting him at a concert. I must have come to the station maybe a couple of times. And he told me that he had a feature on his show called The Philly Chronicles. And this feature was supposed to be an interview that he would hold, hopefully, well, maybe as often as he could, with some famous group or singer from Philadelphia. And he said he wanted to do the Silhouettes, of course, and but he, either he couldn't find them or he was only able to find one of them, because I believe one of his listeners was Bill Horton's cousin. So my friend Sandy got the idea. She said, Elaine, put an ad in the paper. Put an ad in the Tribune. That's the city's black newspaper. She said, put an ad in the Tribune. So I said, well, okay, I never would have thought of that, but okay. So I called up the Tribune. I put an ad in, and it said, members of the Silhouettes, local DJ wants to interview you. And I put my phone number down. And I believe it was September 20th, 1979, Rick called my house. And he said, I'm calling about the ad in the paper. And actually, Rick never saw this ad. None of the Silhouettes ever saw the ad. But a friend of Rick saw the ad and showed it to him. So Rick called my house, and I explained the whole thing to him. The funny thing was that Charlie did get a hold of Bill Horton, but Bill never told anyone else. If I hadn't found Rick, or if Rick hadn't contacted me, Bill would have shown up to the interview by himself. So luckily I did put that ad in the paper, because then two of them showed up, and Rick was the only member who was in the group the whole 10 years. So Bill wouldn't have had a whole lot to say if he had shown up by himself. So that's where I met Rick. I met Rick at that interview, that Philly Chronicles interview on the Charlie Horner Show, October 20th, 1979. That's where I met him. And I don't know how we ever got together, because Rick showed up looking like a homeless person. Rick showed up looking like he got his outfit from Goodwill or the Salvation Army. I don't know what. But, I mean, I couldn't believe it. And Bill Horton showed up in a suit and tie. And I said to Rick, I don't know, probably weeks later, I said, why did you show up on the Charlie Horner Show looking like a homeless person? And he said, well, I didn't want Charlie Horner to think that I thought that being on his show was the greatest moment of my life. So I said, well, you did a good job, let me tell you. But basically, Rick showed up looking like the poster boy for polyester, is all
that
I can say. And but the funny thing is that Rick was gorgeous, and Rick really knew how to dress. And when we went out on our, not so much our first date, which was on a Saturday afternoon, but our second date, Rick showed up in a black leather trench coat with a matching black leather cap that he had pulled over to one side, and charcoal gray pants and a black shirt. And he looked gorgeous. And I said, oh, I can't believe you're the same person I met at at the radio station, he was wearing one of those self-defacing hats that you pulled the brim down on all sides. And I, thank God they're not in style anymore, so you probably don't even know what I'm talking about. But he was wearing one of the. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's just, you know, a miracle that he and I ever got together because he made such a rotten first impression. but the thing was with Rick, though, that Rick was so smart. So
yes, I understand he was very witty and had a good business mind.
Yes. Kay Williams called him the brain. Yes, the brain. And so, obviously, you know, he made up for in personality what he lacked in fashion sense, at least on that one day.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
The song that followed, Get a Job, they had Bing Bong is very popular, but I think the song that followed it was Heading for the Poorhouse. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you need to play it.
I thought I had muted my phone. My apologies. I'm getting over a cold. That was horrible. I'm trying to mute my phone while I need to cough. So my apologies to all of you listening. This was not meant to be on the air. Okay. Let's play Bing Bong, and then we have a few more songs, and then we'll talk about the CD, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. ColorPeople.net, Multicultural Artistic Network. Elaine, are you still there?
Oh, yes.
All right. Are you having fun?
Yes. I'm glad Lou called. I'm having fun since Lou called. That was great.
Thank you. It's such an honor to have you. I'd like to let the listeners know that if you want to call in, the number is 949-209-2956. Again, it's 949-209-2956. And the beauty of having a live show is that it's real. You know, it's not rehearsed. It's not edited. It's not, you know, but the best part of having a live show is that you hear the host coughing in the guest's ear. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, I'll never forget. You know, I did that to another guest. I thought my phone was muted. It's so embarrassing. Shireen Snow, she's a fabulous actress, and she was on Cooley High. She was a little sister, Preach's little sister in Cooley High. And so I had a show with her, and I had a cold, and I thought my phone was muted, and I did the same thing. So I guess it's a theme.
Yes.
Anyway. Oh, my. This is such precious history. Tell me. Obviously, you have these little, let me play quickly a little message from Richard. That was a phone message, right? Yes, it was.
No, Raymond's
phone message. Let me play that, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about, it's only 11 seconds long, and then we'll talk about the putting together of the CD, okay? Here
okay.
we go.
Hello, I'm sorry you weren't there, too. Tell Rick that we're waiting for him to pick us up. Bill said we're going to pick us up. Signed, the boss, Raymond.
What was that about, Elaine?
Oh, I loved Raymond so much. Mm. He was the sweetness of the group. I didn't know what the group would have been like without him. He was just such a love. What was it about? I guess that was about Raymond wanting Rick to come and pick them up for rehearsal. And so I guess that's what that was all about. But it was funny because the outgoing message on my phone was, I'm sorry, I can't take your call right now. And so what you hear from Raymond is, I'm sorry too.
Oh, that's what I was asking. Okay, I get it now.
I'm sorry too. Oh, God, he was funny. He cracked me up. Raymond and I, we were friends. We went everywhere together. I used to take him to the pet store to pick up food for his fish. And we used to go to the supermarket together with my friend Sandy after rehearsal. We would. Rick had to take Bill home to Germantown. And Raymond and Earl lived in South Philly, and that's where my friend Sandy lived. So I used to take Raymond and Earl home, and I'd pick up Sandy, and we'd go to the supermarket. But we started at some point taking Raymond with us. And Raymond is the one who showed me how to get those plastic bags open, you know, those produce bags. That all stick together at the supermarket that you can't get open. Well, Raymond showed me how to get those plastic bags open. So I'll always be indebted to him for that. Yes. So, we were great friends.
Now, you have phone messages. You had reel-to-reel recordings, rehearsal takes. I mean, tell me about everything that you had, and how did the CD come about? Because I know you when you had the idea, but you weren't quite sure how to get started. So tell us how that developed for you.
Right. Well, first of all, I hope everyone realizes that what Tanya has been playing all through the interview is my CD that I made, and the songs plus all the little remarks and all the snippets here and there, all the conversational things. That's all in the CD. That's where it's all coming from. And
it's wonderful.
So
Ella, you did a fabulous job.
Oh, thank you. here's what happened. I didn't know how far back to go with this story, but I guess it all comes about because there's only, in terms of CDs that are out there on the Silhouettes, there's one out on collectibles, and it only has 13 songs on it.
Uh-huh.
And there's one out on Rhythm Records. It has a lot more songs on it, but they're not very good. I mean, they're not, some of them are really bad, and
mm-hmm.
it's not all the songs. For all that, it's not all the songs. And I thought, well, you know, by golly, there ought to be a CD out of all the Silhouette songs. So
right.
I wrote to Collectibles Records, and I said, you know, you've got a CD out on the Silhouettes, it's only got 13 songs on it, and don't you want to do one with all of their songs? And, you know, Collectibles is the main record label that's putting out all these. And either Collectibles is going to do it, or it's not going to get done at all, pretty much. But they said no. And I didn't know, I didn't understand why they said no, but my friend Todd explained to me that it's because of the bad economy. They didn't want to invest any money in it.
Hmm.
So I said, okay, well, it's up to me then. Either I do it or no one's going to do it. It's not going to get done. And it didn't even occur to me until much later that all of this stuff that I had here of them talking, why waste that? You know?
Right.
Why throw
right.
that away?
Right, that's a great insight on how they interacted and behind the scenes. I mean, this is stuff that we would never, ever hear unless you,
right.
you know, gave us
right.
that. That's great.
Right. It's actually the only spoken record, as it were, with Bootsy's voice on it. Bootsy's spoken voice is only on this CD, and it's not. You can't find it anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
His spoken voice. So anyway. I decided to just take all of this stuff that I had, all these interviews and phone messages and just things that I had on tape and on voicemail, et cetera, and drop them in between each song. So after and before each song is something. It
right.
might be a phone message. It might be a rehearsal outtake.
Right.
Whatever. There it is. And I think it makes the CD much more interesting than if
Absolutely.
It just went.
Absolutely.
Yeah, than if it just went from song to song. I don't know if anyone could tolerate that for two discs. I knew it was up to me to do this, but I had really no idea what I was supposed to do. It occurred to me at some point that I wasn't a record company. And, you know, what do you do with all this stuff? I had stuff on 45s. I had stuff on reel-to-reel tape, cassette tape, CDs, gosh, MP3s. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do with all of this? And then, amazingly, somebody wrote to the silhouettes.org and wrote in our comments book and said, I'm a friend of Rick's nephew, Earl Lewis. I'm Earl Lewis's best friend. And Earl died, and I really miss him. And signed Brad Corey. And I thought, oh, isn't that nice? A friend of Earl's. And I wrote to him, I emailed him right away, and I said, dear Brad, it's so nice hearing from you. Do you have a home studio?
That's right.
Yeah, never mind any of that other stuff. That's all very nice. But do you have a home studio? And he and said, well, yes, as a matter of fact, I do. And I said, oh, my God, well, you are the very person that I need. I need you because I'm sitting here. I am surrounded by things that I don't know what to do with that don't interface with each other. And so I explained the whole thing to him. So Brad Corey became my new best friend. And you see his name there on the CD, right? Co-producer,
yeah.
Brad Corey. And so I started making regular pilgrimages to Brad's apartment in Germantown, which is a neighborhood in Philadelphia. And anyway, I came out there with all of my stuff and my turntable because he didn't have a turntable. But luckily I did, and I dragged all this stuff out there. And he had to make a CD master of all of this stuff. And I guess it took us a full year to do it. And then having made two CD masters, we then went to a real recording studio to have it mastered again, you know,
mm-hmm.
professionally. And we went to Masterworks here in Philadelphia. And the thing about Masterworks is they're like all refugees from Sigma Sound Studio, which is that great studio that produced all the Philly International groups from the 70s, you know, the OJs and Evelyn Champagne
mm-hmm.
King and Jerry Butler and so on and so on. These guys really knew what they were doing, and they got all the noise out. They got all the imperfections. They got it out. But
that's great.
They really polished this project up.
That's
it
good.
Sounds by the time they finished with it, it sounded brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
It is a great CD, and I want to remind everybody. This will be out for sale online. However, right now you can get it by sending Elaine an email to get a job, the number 5, the number 8, at AOL.com. I want to play a few more songs. We're almost running out of time. we've talked about so much history. This is really special, and I'm, again, very thankful to have you here. And those of you listening, thank you for sharing this show via Twitter and Facebook. Let's get this history out. Let's get the CD out. But let's listen to a couple more things, and we'll be right back.
You got Poor House on that list there?
Where's the book at?
Well, we don't have no words. No. They're the only ones we had, man.
That's the only ones you had?
Sure, what did I tell you? Didn't I tell you that? Didn't I tell you that? I told you.
Hit the song.
I thought you had typed them down somewhere.
hit the song. I told you.
Hey, how you going to type them down if you wrote them out? Show them out longhand because you can't read typing.
Archives and everything that we have access to, but sadly so many of us are not aware of all the great artists from yesteryears, and you were talking about, you know, DJs having to play this music, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I'm glad that we are being able to bring this to our listeners right now, so...
Mm-hmm.
This is Tanya Maria, your host. We're talking to Elaine Lewis. And we are almost at the end of our show. We have a little over 20 minutes left. If you'd like to call in, the number is 949-209-2956. I'd like to thank all the guests that are in chat right now and all of you that are listening throughout our web players. Thank you so much for your support. And Elaine.
Yes.
What are your closing thoughts? Just anything you'd like to share with us?
Oh God. Oh geez, Louise. Closing thoughts. Don't tell me. Tell me.
Would you like me to play another song and then we'll come back to you again?
Here's a good idea.
I put you on the spot, huh?
Yeah, because I'm sure there's a lot I have to say, but wow. Yeah. You know what? This might be a good time for you to play the song you like, I'm Lonely.
Which song?
Didn't you say you liked I'm Lonely?
Hold on a second. Say that one more time.
Remember when I said I'm Lonely was the A side and Get a Job was the B side? And you said,
yes.
Oh, I really liked I'm Lonely?
Yes. I am definitely playing that. I'm saving that for last because that's one of my favorite songs.
Oh, you're saving it for last. okay.
It's one of my favorites. But tell you what, let me play some of the other things I have here. If you need to call in, everybody, we are about to wrap up the show. The number is 949-209-2956. We're speaking to Elaine Lewis. She's the widow of Rick Lewis, who was the tenor of this wonderful group, the Silhouettes. And let's go to, let's see, I've played just about everything we had planned to. There are a couple of things, so let me get to them right now. Who is that talking, Elaine?
Bootsy. Bootsy, my dad. That's what I call him, Dad. That's my dad, Bootsy. Yeah, what a voice. Isn't that a great song? Wow. Like, the first time I heard Move On Over, I was like, oh, my God. And this sounds like a Drifters song. The Drifters could have done this song. Oh, man, I'm looking around. I heard these songs back in 1979 on Charlie Horner's show, where I met Rick. That was the first time I heard these songs. And I'm looking around. I'm looking at people. I'm like, first of all, Charlie started the show off playing Get a Job. And I said to myself, I can't believe he started the show. It's a two-hour show, and he plays Get a Job first. I said, what are you going to end with if you play Get a Job first? How are you going to end the show if you start off with Get a Job? Of course, I had no idea that they had made all of these great songs. Absolutely no idea. It was probably halfway into the show that I heard this one, Move On Over. And I looked around, I said, it sounds like a Drifters song. Mm-hmm. And I was in shock. These songs, they became my favorite songs in the world. I just played the tape of the Charlie Horner interview over and over and over again in my car. Great songs. And I am very critical. And anyone who knows me will tell you that. I don't like anything. I can find my poor nephew, John Gillespie. He's got a band, and he made the mistake of letting me hear his band CD. And I said, where's the tenor voice? The song's bottom heavy. And there's nothing on the bass. There's no, I forgot what word I used at the time. There's nothing on the bass. It's just, it's bland. It's like the way it sounds in the showroom. Mm-hmm. And I just reeled off one thing after another. John was so devastated after my critique of his CD. He wouldn't let me hear any more of his songs. I haven't heard a single song of his since. That was like 10 years or so ago. I haven't. He put out another CD and everyone hid it from me. So, I mean, if I say something is good, you can take it to the bank.
All right.
This stuff, judging by this
CD here, I believe you because you did a fabulous job. This is an awesome tribute to the Silhouettes, and definitely it's more than a collector's item. But we are wrapping up our show. Now is the time that if you have some final words, Elaine, I will let you share those with us, and then we'll play one more song, and we will end the show for tonight. But before you say anything, again, I want to thank you. This network means a lot to me. To have you as part of it is very special to me. To have you here tonight means a lot. So thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your memories and your life with us tonight. So now I'm turning it back to you.
Well, thank you for letting me go on and on and on. Okay, well, just again, if you'd like to buy, should I tell people what it costs? This CD or doesn't that matter?
Let's have them contact you. Let them contact you. They're interested in the CD. Let them email you at getajob58@aol.com. You know, mm-hmm. this is priceless, this is precious. So you know, let's get some communication going. If you want to tell them, it's up to you. But I thought that perhaps we could just get them to contact you.
I guess it's enough to say that it's not expensive. You know.
There you go.
But
we do need to get it online. We need to get it online as soon as possible. So I know you have 1,000 copies at your house. But we do need to get this online as well.
Yeah.
So any final thoughts?
Okay. Final thoughts. There's two songs in here, two solo efforts by Raymond on Nestor Records from 1954 that you can't hear anywhere else but on this CD.
Mm-hmm.
Bootsy's version of Get a Job isn't anywhere else but on this CD. Bootsy's version of Get a Job, which he did in 1968, and it's a soul version, of course. It's not just, you know, a replica of the original.
Right.
And
the CD 2. The CD number 2, which is the soul collection.
Right.
And it's
right.
Cut number 30. No, cut number 28.
Right.
Okay.
And let's see. And then there's another song, another one of Bootsy's songs, We Belong Together, which is on no other CD but this one. And that happens to be one of my favorites. And, you know, I think all we've done here is just we've scratched the surface of the CD, and that's it. But I think we've heard enough. Anybody with any discernment whatsoever...
I personally did not want to play as many songs as we did because I felt that, you know, we couldn't possibly give away the CD because the disc one is 29 cuts. And of course, you have those little short takes, and disc two is 31 cuts. But still, you know, but I thank you for allowing me to do that. I thank you for sharing that with our listeners. And again, listeners, I thank you for forwarding this through your social media, Twitter and Facebook and what have you. And let's get this music heard. Let's get this music played. And let's get the CD sold. It was a lot of work, and it's a wonderful part of history. So, Elaine, thank you so much for your time. I'm going to leave you all with a song that I personally just love. If you have nothing else to say to us, we will thank you once again for your time and wish you a good night. And hopefully we can have you back on the show in the future to let us know what's going on in your life, okay?
Right. Thank you so much, Tanya.
All right. My pleasure. Thank you all, and good night.
I'm lonely. I don't want to be lonely. 'Cause I dream of you only the night. My dream. have to be so lonely when I find you.
When I find you.
Be so lonely.